jail. Because we are not taught that it's an honor to be persecuted. It's an honor. Jesus counted you honorable to say, my child, I will now let you be persecuted. You and I should be saying, thank you, my master. It's a privilege. We need a renewal of the mind inside us. It's an honor for them. It's an honor to be persecuted. So every time they're beaten. Now, I'm not talking about being persecuted for your own stupidity. you go around and nothing to do with Jesus. Just you. Right? You go around and then you purposely annoy somebody and someone punch you. We give you a black eye. We say, oh, look at my black eye. This is my mark of honor. Unfortunately, that was not given because of Jesus. That would be given because you were a fool. You behave like a fool. Someone punch you because of that. That's different. But when you carry the name of Jesus, and the reason why you're going through what you're going is because you're trying to do God's will. You're doing what is right. If you are persecuted for Jesus, for righteousness, for justice, it is an honor. An honor that God doesn't share unless He thinks that you are worthy. An honor He doesn't share unless He likes you. So the next time you're persecuted for Jesus, you know, and all these things are happening to you, you say, Jesus must really love me. So imagine, Jesus says, oh, I love you. Here are some stripes. Oh, I love you. Here is some cross. It's a different mentality. But when we begin to train our understanding that way, and our minds need to be renewed, then it's different. The next time, we can react the way Jesus tells us to react. Luke chapter 6 tells us, when you're persecuted, leap for joy. Rejoice because your name is written in the heavens above. And I'm not saying that instantly, you know, that you say, okay, now that's it, and then you instantly could react that way. It takes time sometimes for a truth to sink into us. And as a truth sink into us about the value of persecution and suffering for Jesus, which is a part of the gospel. Now, I know some of you, theologically, you're trained, you say, Jesus suffered for us so we don't need to suffer anymore. You have just misquoted the Bible. Because Jesus said, as they do to the master, so they will do to you. So don't just take the portion that you like. Take the whole Bible. And there will need to be the necessity of bearing the cross of Jesus still on this earth. Now, Paul gave a very funny revelation, I could call it, in Colossians, that if you don't interpret it correctly, can look wrong. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and Paul talks about his suffering for Jesus, verse 24. Colossians 1 verse 24. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Now we all understand how people can rejoice in the suffering. If you acknowledge that suffering for Jesus is a privilege and an honor, you realize that you are a privileged person. As far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Now, on this earth, it doesn't look the same way. But when you begin to look at your life from heaven, then you begin to understand how great the reward will be. Verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now look at that verse very carefully. What in the world does this mean by filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church? You got to look at it very carefully. Number one, it cannot be having anything to do with the atonement. Because no one can pay for our salvation except Jesus. That's obvious and a far gone conclusion. Only Jesus can pay the price for our salvation. Nothing of what we do could earn anything as far as salvation is concerned. But if Paul is talking about that measure of suffering for Jesus, this is what I believe. Every time you reach out to someone, there will be a type of, quote unquote, a type of Christ story repeated. Okay, I'm is using very careful word. Christ story repeated. Because when you look at the world around us, sometimes when I pray and intercede, I look at the world around us and realize, God, and my solution is always, God, your power, your power. But God may see how the power may not be the only answer. You know? When you look at the world around us, and you say, Lord, the world needs a witness to have one more chance to know you before the end time. And many of us will probably be thinking the way I'm thinking. If God came around, raised 100 people from the dead, who testify, say, oh, Jesus is real, and the world will come to know him. You and I interpret that way, but that may not be sufficient. Because when Rahel Bonke's ministry is a byproduct, not directly, raised up someone from the dead in one of his crusades in Nigeria, there were more controversies than people coming to know him. In fact, there's as much controversy as the person who was literally raised on the dead was testifying. So, like Abraham said to Lazarus, you know, they have the prophets and they have the scriptures. Because if someone, and then the Lazarus say, you know, if someone go from the dead, then they will believe. Not necessarily so. That's what we think. But the world has their way. But outside of the power of God, which I believe God will still show his power and demonstrate his power, there's another portion. The story of Christ needs to be repeated. Let me illustrate. I'm sure when the Apostle Paul was touched in his life, the Apostle Paul was a persecutor against Jesus before he became apostle. He was one of the young men who stirred up things against Christians and put them in prison, killed some of them. When Stephen was dying, Stephen says, lay not this charge on them. Somehow it must have rung a bell, so that later when Paul came to know the Lord, that story still stands in his memory and is recorded. Think about the sufferings people go through to bring the gospel to you and I. In the natural, none of us respond necessarily to the gospel immediately. So for us to bring the gospel to another person, to be witness, you may have to pay the same sufferings that Jesus paid to reach you. Why do we love Jesus? Why do we make him our Lord and Savior? Because before we love him, while we were yet sinners and enemies of him, he died for us. He said he loved us. The same way when we go out to the lost, you may have to show your love for them. You may have to show that you love them as much as Jesus loved them. You may have to show your love to them by suffering, inconvenience, by taking the cross for them. And one day their eyes are open and they said, I cannot understand your intellectual arguments. I cannot understand your philosophy. I cannot understand a whole lot of things you're trying to convince me. But I can know that you do love me and care for me because you did that, all those things for me. A lot of tribal areas and people who do not know Jesus, missionaries paid a price, some of them with their own lives, to bring the gospel to those tribes. That is what Paul means by filling up the afflictions of Christ, I believe. The Christ story repeated through his missionaries and through his witness. Sometimes whole tribes come to know Jesus because one missionary was willing to pay the price, give up all their worldly pleasure, give up all their worldly goods to go and live among them and be like them and love them at their level. And they said, then only the same love of Jesus could have made you do it, those things, and people can come to know Jesus. So if we remember that, then the next time you witness or bear witness, if you're seeking to win your loved one to Jesus, don't take the easy road and see only the easy road. Oh, by your witness, by your prayer, they're going to come to know him. No. You may have to suffer the sufferings of Christ for them to see the love of Jesus in your life, for them to come to know God. You may have to fill up the afflictions of Christ, as Paul expressed there, for them to see Christ in you. Now, sometimes what you suffer cannot be seen by people, but God sees it, and God begins to work powerfully because of what you are sacrificing for him. It moves heaven and earth when Jesus could reproduce himself in our lives. And thank God the gospel of Jesus has driven men and women to that stage. Of course, those truths were understood in the early days of Christianity, and it has been lost. And of course, some of them brought it to the extreme, though. They bring it to the opposite extreme, where they began to go unscriptural doctrines of suffering, where they would purposely make themselves suffer not for Jesus, but out of torturing the flesh, where they would, you know, prick themselves and torture themselves. That's the wrong extreme. But we have moved the pendulum to the other extreme, where we realize that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have modern Christianity preach about success and happiness and achievements and ability to do all. But then we lost the other truth. We have to take this truth, bring it to the balance, bring that truth, bring it to the balance, and then we have a balanced Christianity that would say that yes, we can be the head and not the tail. We can have the power of God in our lives in all areas, spirit, soul and body. But at the same time, we also understand and are willing and are prepared for the privilege of suffering for Jesus. In whatever form God chooses to bring that persecution. So Paul, in a Macedonian vision, I believe that it was a part in Acts 16 of God's will for all those things to take place in Acts 16. I believe that it was a part of God's will that their ministry never went forth first, but instead they only reached a small little group of ladies. And I believe that it was permitted by God that all these things happen, that this little girl with the demon irritated Paul. Demon was cast.